Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives. We are happy to welcome back Teo Penglis to our show tonight. Teo has been busy with many new projects since he last appeared on Days of Our Lives. His book, Seducing Celebrities One Meal at a Time, has been re-released in softcover, and it's available on Amazon. Teo will be doing a book signing this Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Barnes & Noble at the Grove in L.A., On May 23rd at 2 p.m., he will be on Lifestyles with Roy Ice. His podcast, Lost Treasures, can be found on Spotify, and he is currently developing a second podcast. Teo has portrayed Tony and Andre DeMira on Days of Our Lives for over 40 years. It's been over a year since we last saw him on Days. All the fans are wondering if this is the last time we will see Tony, Andre, or Teo on our favorite soap. So get your questions ready and call in to talk with Teo at 914-338-1239 and just press 1 to enter the queue.
What's that?
Hello? Is this Teo?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
You made it. I just got done introducing you.
Oh, yes. I heard the tone.
The tone. Oh, okay. Was it a good tone?
A little more excitement would be good.
Oh, yeah. Do you think? Oh, we're so excited.
Oh, yeah. We have to, you know, you punch it, you know. You announce
so excited.
You sounded like we were going to a farm with a couple of chickens.
Kick it, a farm? Oh, my gosh.
You know, it sounded like,
so are
you
know. Are you ready for this? Okay. First of all, I want to congratulate you.
Oh, it's like the first time, is it? Huh?
No, it's been many times. How lucky am I?
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, many,
many,
many times.
Many.
Yes. Some good, some bad. No. No, all been good.
We've never had bad.
No, never. You're never bad. So I want to congratulate you on.
On what?
Yeah, go ahead.
When we used to do it in the bathtub with a glass of champagne or something.
Oh,
I think about those days and I thought, oh, my God, the chutzpah that I had.
Oh, the chutzpah, yep. And also the what the girls had, too. That was back with Lee and all the hoochies and everything. Yeah, we were wild back then. What happened?
We matured and realized it was not necessary.
Yes, we got old. Or we got old.
No.
Right now.
No.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We missed those.
It was.
A lot of fun. But this is fun, too. It was. And this is fun, too. So, I see Seducing Celebrities came out in softback cover. So, that was exciting.
What?
I said that was exciting. Can you tell why
the,
did
well,
yeah,
you know, in originally, when we had the book and it was being mm-hmm. published, and I called my manager at the time, and I said, so what are we going to do now? And he goes, I have no idea. So I fired him. And then Days mm-hmm. of Our Lives had their book on the 50th anniversary or whatever it was at that time. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, I have a book, and the publicist said, Days, oh, yes, we're going to... When we go out to all the cities, publishing the Days book will do yours as well. And to my upsetness and surprise, they didn't do that. And so the book was just left hanging after all that work. Mm-hmm. And so my publicist called the publisher, and he said, you know, we should reissue this. And because it was an expensive book, and he did it with the photographs in the inside in black and white, he thought, well, we can at least halve the price. So that way it was much more attractive, and even though I do like the hardcover. But, you know, listen, it's to reach people out there, and there's great stories to the book. I think, you know, the experiences I've had. I mean, you look back at your life and you think, oh, my God, so many wonderful people crossed my path. And so it was, you know, from Doris Robertson. And when I worked with Omar Sharif, you know, just with Eileen Davidson, and certainly Leanne almost every other week, you know.
Oh, yes. You have known so many people that have crossed your path in one way or another. So that was, you know, all the good stories and the recipes. Now, with this book signing that's coming up on Wednesday, what can people expect if they get a ticket to go there? You'll be having you'll tell stories from the book, have discussions, things like that?
You know, people said to me, well, what are you going to do? My publicist said, oh, just, you know, read stories or something. Well, the stories are not short, you know, so mm-hmm. expecting around 60 people there, more, I don't know, but, you know, I don't like when people read from books and all that. I'd rather tell the story, and that's what I'm thinking. So what stories would I tell? So I thought mm-hmm. the story in Cuba where I went, and that's where the seed was planted to do the book, I think maybe talk about my experience with Omar Sharif and Jacqueline Kennedy. I think they make interesting stories. And also Doris, you know, who came to my place for dinner almost every week.
Right. Okay,
I'll tell those stories, and then we'll be signing, and then there's going to be photographers there, and Will DeVry and his wife, Rebecca, will be coming, and Susan Hayes, Leanne Hunley, Lauren Coslow, and there'll be also from GH,
some of your castmates from there, from GH?
Yeah, so I'm getting more castmates. Well, I've got three from Days. I was hoping mm-hmm. Deidre might come. I didn't send an invitation, but, you know, there's been enough to see it, you know.
All right. Maybe she'll, you know, maybe you'll be surprised by a lot of them coming there. You never know.
No, you don't. So who knows?
Yeah.
But I had lunch with Susan the other day, and that was nice.
Oh, okay.
And we went to the smokehouse, and we discussed the recipes of the book. We discussed Bill, of course. We discussed Deidre and how work is now on Days, and how many things have changed, you know, because it's mm-hmm. faster, and they're also well ahead of storyline. And so, but it was a wonderful lunch. And so I was very happy that she said, I'm coming for the book signing. And I thought, well, that was good because, you know, she's in the Valley and she has to go all the way to West Hollywood.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah.
So
well, you mentioned Days.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Maybe she'll bring Deidre. Tell her. Yeah. Maybe she'll talk her into it. Oh, good.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Days. Yeah. But for you, she should come because you've not known each other for a long time. So speaking of Days, I have to ask, you know, I know I saw Dish and Days last night, which was a very good show. By the way, if people have a chance to go watch that, go to Dish and Days. It was an interview with Tao. It was very good. People were wondering. I think it kind of got mixed up or out of context about you said you were done with Days, but you really weren't. Did you want to – and the way you explained it on Dish and Days was perfect. So did you want to tell our listeners?
Well, yeah, you know, it's been a while since Leanne and I've been on, or I've been on separately.
Right.
The DeMaros are a different family now. It's not what Joe and I had built. A different dynamic. We were much more ruthless. It was much more of a threatening family to the Hortons and the rest of the families of Salem. But, you know, I don't like waiting. I'm not the kind of person
right.
that sits and says, you know, this is the only thing going on in my life. I'm always a person who likes planting seeds, and so I thought, well, one of the things I said last night, I believe if you want to succeed in life, is you must be a cause. You don't become the
right.
victim of anything. You don't suddenly think, oh, look what they're doing. You know, and you go, no, you know, they're entitled to do what story they want to do and how they're seeing the future and all that. And I don't have to wait around until they make up their mind. But, you know, after
right.
42 years, it's been an extraordinary run, and I'm always, you know, fond of the memories and see what happens in the future. So if they call us and they want us to go back and do something, I mean, Tony and I are always traveling, and sometimes I wish they'd just send us upstairs, and the next morning we'll come down or
right.
a week later.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but you would come back if they ask you.
Oh, absolutely. It's not
right.
Right. No, I'm not shutting the door on them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
life, you know, you should. It's about what they want to do,
what
they want to offer, and what kind of a story it's going to be. All those things are in consideration. But no, I mean, I loved going there. There's something about being in the ensemble and all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that the people you work with are going to end up being your good friends, because a lot of us don't have many things in common except we work at that studio. But all in all, you know, I have some still good friendships there. So
good. And like our friend Jan said, you didn't quit Days. Days quit you, in a sense. So we're just waiting for them to, you know, wake up and give you a call. So,
but they're not to wake
did
up.
Yeah, they don't.
They
no,
don't wake
well,
up.
They
no, I mean they can continue with what they. I mean, a head writer has the privilege of having
mm-hmm.
a concept and how he wants to tell a story. It's not like the old days where they had long-term storyline and, you know, it'd break it up and have beginning, middle,
right.
and end. These days,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's more vignettes and. So, you know, if it comes up, but I've got some interesting stuff going on now that is exciting. And you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like anything in life. You've got to wipe away any of the obstacles or any of the delay tactics people try to put on you. And instead, you've got to create. And it's like I don't wait for people to invite me for dinner parties, because if I did, we'd have no dinner parties with the way life is these days. So I like to
right.
take the to initiate the invitations, and that's what I do. I take charge of it, you know, and that's who I am. And, you know, it's why I took the journeys I did, because they were the journeys I wanted to take, not what somebody else told me to do.
Right.
So, but I've shared
okay.
them. I've been, but, you know, you share.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll create them, I know you've said, so.
Yes,
okay.
I'll create them, yes.
I'll create them, yes. So would you like to take some callers? Let's see what they have any, what they want to say.
Are they going
okay,
to behave?
I don't know. There's a certain couple here that might not, but we'll start with a guy first. This is Kurt. You know Kurt. He called.
Oh, my God, yes. Wonderful guy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Kurt. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, there
Hi.
You are.
Oh, there he
okay.
is.
Oh, yeah. I messed up and had my mute on by accident. How are you folks doing?
Okay.
First of all, thank you for taking my call, as always, and a heartfelt congratulations to you, Tao, on a remarkable acting career in the past and hopefully the future, on your latest podcast, and also now with the revisiting of Seducing Celebrities, One Meal at a Time. Congratulations on all of that.
Oh, thank you, Kurt. Yeah, it's nice to see a finished product. You know, we don't always, a lot of us start things and don't finish them, or, oh, I'll do it one day. Or, you know, I know people who've been writing their story for a lifetime. And to me, it's about, I've got to complete things. I like, you know, it's like you sit one day and an idea comes to you and you plant that seed and you see how it. And one day I had this story about the Holy Family, and I started investigating, and then I went and explored it while I was in Egypt. And so suddenly I just finished a story that deals with that life and some new things that I've discovered, and also the fact that I was there, where the Coptic religion of Egypt, because of the Holy Family and their escape from Herod. And so I wrote this, and I'm thinking this could be a good, my next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm looking forward to doing that now. Now that I've done the first four segments of Lost Treasures, I'd like to do stories that are unique and my own interpretation. And there's something about the wise men that's fascinated me. So these are all the new ideas that I get, and then, you know, you begin exploring, and then suddenly, you know, you have a champagne or whatever, or tequila or whatever.
Do you find with the current state of the world that we're in right now, do you find it more difficult traveling and going to different countries as you used to? Or is it it seems like there's a lot going on. I would think it'd be a little more difficult traveling nowadays. How do you find your travels compared to in the past?
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad that I did all those journeys during those times, even though it was a bit dangerous to go to Syria, go to the Middle East, and go to Egypt. So I've been faced with a lot in my journeys, and sometimes a little nervous when people follow you and or they try to entrap you. Because they think, yeah, as a tourist, you must have money. It's always about money. And even the ones who are nice, you find out what it really is they want money. But yes, I think the circumstances, it's just another stage of what the world's going through. Like, I wouldn't go to Israel and I wouldn't go to Egypt right now because of the Middle East. And, you know, because people have this feeling that, you know, you are part of, especially if you're an American, that you are part of the concept of, you know, pro-Israel. And I've been to that whole area, and I've seen how people are treated and how dangerous it is. So, Greece would be fine. Italy would be fine. Wouldn't go to China anymore. I did want to go there. Russia's out of the question because of what they do. But, yeah, to your question, I think it is more dangerous today because you can be used as a pawn, you know.
Yeah, that's a shame, too. That's a shame. I'm going to go ahead and end this on a lighthearted note, and I'll let some other people talk. But I do want to ask you real quickly, in reference to seducing celebrities, is there ever, past or present, is there a celebrity that you could seduce, your next celebrity you could seduce or embrace? Who would it be, and what would you serve?
Oh, that's a loaded one. it's funny. When I was growing up, celebrities were different. They had a different texture to me in my mind and my feelings about them. We don't have those. We don't have those idols anymore. Meryl Streep would be one because I find her, because she's mercurial in the way she works and she's got wonderful grace. I would love to cook for her, and if I did, she's very organic about things and how she's, because the way she raised her children from what I've read, but I probably would serve a whole fish. I would think she can appreciate that. She's quite universal in her outlook on things, but you know, a lot of people don't like fish heads on a plate, so and just to see a piece of filet bores me. I grew up, you know, with everything you could think of on the plate, including carbs, brains, and capers. So that's what I would do. I probably would serve fish. But, of course, you do have to check these days to see if people have allergies. And, you know, they, you know, before, once upon a time, people you invited for dinner and they would sit around the table and they just loved the dinner. Now it's become a restaurant, you know. It's like, oh, I can't eat that, or I can't eat this. And, oh, that's how I've got allergies to that. So I think it's important that we have to now, a lot of people have different, because of the way the food's done, a lot of people have their priorities and you want it to go as smoothly as possible. So I always tell people what I'm going to cook if they have any allergies, because I know that prawns, for instance, shrimp, people have allergies to shellfish and things like that, and garlic and onions. So that's difficult because I use garlic and onions, so I have to do it without. So I've learned to do vegetarian dishes, which I'm always prepared in case somebody says I can't eat if I'm serving a filet, a mignon with a shiitake mushroom sauce over mashed potatoes, and I like my English peas done with a lot of mint. So that's,
okay, now I'm getting,
you know,
I'm getting hungry.
That could be an opportunity.
Well, listen, thank you so much for taking my call. And Tao, as always, it's great talking to you, and best of luck on everything you got coming up in the future. We look forward to it. And a quick shout out to all my Facebook friends, Jan and Marianne, everybody else. Thank you once again, Tao. Y'all have a great night.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming on board.
Thanks, Kurt. Okay. All right, we have Jen.
Hi, Tao.
Oh, Jen, hello.
Good. Is there any chance you're coming to the East Coast with your book signing?
Good question.
I would love that. I like the East Coast because that's where I, you know, studied in New York.
New York?
It depends on the publisher, you know, if that's what he wants, if the book goes well. And it's doing well, I think. A lot of people are enjoying the stories. And where are you from?
I'm from Cornwall. I'm about an hour from New York City.
New York City. God, the memories there. If it happens, certainly we'll pull it out, put it out there. You know, it takes a long time. It becomes like a child, you know, the book. It becomes something that's very personal. And then, you know, you reveal the intimate stories with friends that you've had, you know, and experience. So, yeah, if I can and if it works out, I certainly would do that. But right now, I'm not sure.
You might even want to visit West Point. That's like a lot of history there.
Yes. Well, America has a lot of wonderful history. I'd like to go to the South, you know. I just think,
oh yeah.
You know, I've traveled in a lot of places, but I think it's the architecture. I think when I saw Gone with the Wind and it was so Americana, I like all that greenery. And also I have friends who live in North and South Carolina. But most of my friends used to come from the East Coast, and the ones that are still around are living here, because weather on the East Coast can be, when you get older, it can be hard.
Yep, and very cold.
And very cold, and I've never liked the cold. It doesn't make me want to do anything except sit by a fire. But no, I like the sun because I was brought up in Australia that way, and I like going to the ocean, and I used to love going and take a knife with me and a lemon and some bread and get the oysters off the rocks and eat them. And I loved raw seafood, you know, and then I would take some home to my mother that she would cook. But yeah, seafood to me is the number one food that gives me a lot of pleasure.
Okay. Do you have any more questions, Jen? Are you good?
When is your next podcast starting?
Well, you know, it takes time. I mean, it'll probably take a shorter time because I know what I'm going to do. Whereas before, I had to wait for the guy in New York to put in the sound effects, and that took well over a year. And I mean, I collected all those stories over 20 years and visited those places. So there's something about having stepped into a location that you can write about, because in there's something about having experienced the your heart in that area and how it affected you. You know, when I went following the Holy Family's footsteps in Egypt, where they brought the Coptic religion, there was something about going into these churches and monasteries that were the places they hid from Herod, and sitting around and just watching and observe Christianity in the Muslim world. I found that to be really fascinating. And so, and the miracles that have taken place in Egypt because of that, and they've been recorded. But I think, you know, it's going to be called The Great Escape. It'll be a two-parter. And then I'll probably do, I've written so many stories, and so I have some short stories I may, putting it as part of the, something that, you know, I may do a story where I went and climbed Sinai, and what I experienced at the top of Sinai, and how I crossed Sinai Desert, and how I spent time with monks, and, you know, spending time in a 6th century monastery, and then going to Egypt, I went to St. Anthony's Monastery, and that was the beginning of monasticism. And so I had a wonderful time getting there and experiencing how monks live, which is very myopic, because they walk in the footsteps of God. And so it's kind of interesting to see the kind of personality that gives themselves completely and solely to that religion. So I always find that fascinating, you know. So, but I will announce when I come to the next podcast. I have a friend who said to me, I can help you do it, because she does recordings. And I said, oh, okay, because I'm not going to do it with the agent that I had. And he just took too bloody long, and I got frustrated with it. And so now I just want to move forward and take charge.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
You.
Thanks for calling, Jen. Okay. We have Andrea.
Oh, the mischief maker.
Andrea.
Hello. Hey, I wasn't ready. I thought I was number four.
That's no, you're the next in line.
Do you think anything's going to change because you're next in line as opposed to the one after?
You know. You never know. What do you want to talk about? This is your floor.
You want me to talk about it? You're the ones who are asking the questions.
All right. If I ask you questions, you have to answer them.
What's
that?
Ready?
Uh-oh.
Are you ready to answer my question?
It doesn't mean somebody...
Fag, marry, kill. No, just kidding. Do you know that game?
Do I know what?
What? Do you know this game, Shag, Marry, Kill?
No.
No.
We're going to have to talk. Okay. So really, I want to ask you some questions about, like, have you ever eaten chicken out of a bucket?
You mean like Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Chicken.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I have, when I was younger and didn't know better.
Okay, and what would it take for you to go eat, say, fast food?
A fast food situation,
like a Wendy's. You don't know what fast food is?
Oh, fast food. No, I'm sorry, I just didn't hear the question correctly. What would it take to go to a fast food? If you're traveling across, like I did, America, occasionally you'll probably have to get a hamburger somewhere or stay at a diner. I like diners. I really like diners, but I like diners for breakfast.
Diners are good. Have you ever eaten at a truck stop? That's where you get good food, actually.
No.
It's actually pretty good. Kind of dirty, but good. I mean, not your kind of good, but good.
Yeah, I try to go to places as a whole where I trust what they're serving. I don't like street food because I don't know who the person and how clean they were or where the food. The reason why I don't go to like chicken places and all that because they use chickens that are not farm raised. You know, they're not raised in the fields and all that. They're all just pumped out and given a lot of hormones.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very careful about what I eat these days. Especially when you cook
like
as much
tilapia.
As I
do. How about
tilapia?
Like, it's from China. It's all, I can't find any American, raised in America, like frozen food. I can't get fresh. You know, I wouldn't.
Well, no, I would
anymore.
Never eat tilapia. As much as I like tilapia in the early days, when you find out where it comes from and it's farm raised, it's got some, and with chemicals, no, thank you. I'm not crazy about doing that. You have to be careful about what you eat these days. You've got to know where the cuisine comes from. That's what the trouble is with fast foods. It comes from chickens who are, you know, fed fast and pumped up with whatever chemicals, fish that has been raised in waters that, and like salmon, for instance. I would never eat farm-raised salmon as much as I love salmon because when it's farm-raised, it's really white, the meat. When it's wild caught, it has that orangey color. And so that what they do is they inject it with chemicals. So, you know, if you've got children, that's not what you feed your children. And, you know, food should not be a convenience. And fast foods are a convenience.
Yeah, I'm pretty much over fast food unless I get, you know, every once in a while a hankering for it. But I've been trying to eat better food, not working out 100%, but I was watching something about E. coli the other day on, I think it was a forensic file, which really shook me up because just those little organisms or the bacteria, you don't even realize how deadly those things are and kill somebody you know. But it made me think about expiration dates. I think everything is going to kill me after 3 days. So I'm a freak about stuff in the food, and I throw everything away, and yet my family is like, it's fine. Just cut that part off. What do you do how are you about that?
I would never. No, it's
never.
Like having something and there's some mold on it, and you just cut the mold off. No, that's not. No. No, you've got to eat things that are fresh.
I can't even think of it.
No, well, that's not the way. You know, when I go home to Australia, we go to the fresh fish markets and we buy things, you know, because Australia is a huge country,
right.
As big as the United States, and we only have 25 million people there. The seafood is abundant. Although, you know, they do sneak in farm-raised food. So you've got to look at those. Those labels are there, and they're about your choices. And so, you know, that's how we stay healthy.
Yeah,
you want you don't want to be sick in your old age, huh?
Oh yeah, I know that. I was saying going daily to the market, like for fish, vegetables, fruit, is the best thing. Can't always do it, but it is, you know, how you're going to get the freshest.
Well, you know, like little Cornish hens, for instance, I'll freeze those, or I'll make soups, and then I freeze those, so that when I don't have time to really go into cooking, I'll just defrost a bag, plastic bag where I've got the soup in. But that soup, I know what ingredients it has in it because I created it. And even when I take a chicken, I make sure the chicken has been, you know, been raised out in the fields and not something with thousands of others. And then I use the chicken as a broth. And then I give either the chicken away to people who like to make chicken salad, and then I have the soup, and then I put my ingredients in there in the way I like them. But that's how I eat, and that's how I've always been.
Well, that sounds good. Hey, one thing. Let me ask you real quick. On your book, Under the Filet Mignon, the first thing you said was you wash the meat. Like, literally, do you just, you're rinsing it? And I've never thought to do that. And I'm guessing, is it for, to get rid of pesticides or something? Or what? Why did you say that?
Because, you know, when meat sits in a plastic container or something like they serve, or if you go to Costco's, there's blood that's been sitting there with it.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
You know, so I wash it off to take any excess of that, and then I dry it with a paper towel, and then I add what I want to, and, you know, sometimes I'll do what we call a carpet bag steak, where you cut the middle and you put oysters in there. Ooh. And then you do a mushroom sauce with it, which is one of my favorites. So, yeah, it's I always wash things. I don't care, even mushrooms. You know, I wash everything.
Yeah, I'm starting to wash the lettuce.
Well, you know, when you wash a chicken, for instance, I've heard that, oh, why would you want to wash the chicken? Because it'll get all over the place, and it's got bacteria. Well, I do, but then after I've washed it, I scrub the sink because of what remains from splash. So I make sure I wash everything. I mean, I don't like to see blood hanging around because, you know, so I make sure things are fresh. I'm not good at just having frozen things, but that's only for convenience when, like, I had too many lines to learn.
Well, that's why your food's quality. So I'm not going to get to see you in August because I'm poor and I'm going to be here and I'm going to be taking care of the East Coast. And
where
I'm going to wait for you to come to Boston. In Boston.
Boston. Oh, my God, I was looking at a documentary. I was looking at that documentary at the... Can I finish what I was saying?
You can.
I was watching a documentary on Boston last night on CNN about the museum that had the biggest heist in the history of man, and they stole over $500 million worth of art. Fascinating story, but that was impossible.
Was that with Anderson Cooper?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it, and I didn't go back in time to finish it. Yeah, I can't remember when that. I don't even know when that happened, but I've heard about it.
I think it happened in like 1990, and they've never been able. I heard originally that. Eventually made its way to the mafia in Ireland. That's where it ended up. But it had to be an inside job. But, you know, they didn't reveal too much.
Had to be.
What's that?
It had to be. Did they make a movie about it yet? Or, I mean, that's a long time coming if they're going to.
No, they've never made a movie about it. I mean, I like heist movies, but they don't know much about this, or they're not revealing it, you know. But there is a $10 million reward.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll get on the case, and then I will see you in August. How's that?
You're most welcome.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Okay.
If not, well, hopefully my friend Allison, who's called in, is going to speak to you, because she's in the South. So you love yourself. So Allison talks. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's in Kentucky.
All right, sweetie. Thank you for coming. Now. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Okay. I think we have Catherine. Kat.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Tao. How are you?
Oh, I'm a bit tired. I did a Zoom meeting just a while ago. It takes it out of you because, you know, in a way, for an hour, you have to be really on telling stories. And although I must say the host was wonderful, had good questions. But I talked about the podcast and the book.
Nice. I enjoyed your Dishing Days interview yesterday.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, it was great. You always
have
funny stories.
Yeah, well, I've had a funny life. I've always, I like telling stories. And I've learned from really great storytellers. There's an art in it, really. How do you tell a story and keep the audience interested? And it's the same way when you're in the theater and you're on the stage. You've got to keep the audience and their adrenaline going, because you don't want audiences in, when you look out to the stage and you're pretending you can't see them and someone's sleeping, nodding off, things. So you've got to know how to perform, and you have to know how to pick up your cues, and knowing that you don't have too many bridges in the conversation and the story. And when I did that at Cape May, that's where I originally started telling stories, and Marianne was there, and I was telling the stories of my journeys, and that's how it all started.
Right.
And that was, and what year was that?
That you did at the Beverly Hills Playhouse? I think that was 2012.
Was that 2014?
No, Class. Class? When you did Class? Oh, that one? That was 2010, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so that was 14 years ago we did that play.
Yeah, and in 2012 you did the Beverly Hills Playhouse. You like told your stories. So, yeah. It's been a while.
No.
You need to be on the stage again, Teo. You're made for the stage.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, boy, that's exhausting, especially when you've got to do, 7-8 performances a week. People think, oh, he's just on stage for a couple of hours and that's it. You have no idea what it feels like the next day, because you have to be in an energy field that keeps the play, moving. And your audience, you have different audiences every night. Some are more receptive than others. Some get the jokes better. But it's a lot of work. I cannot, and also worries me is, can I remember all that? It's different. When we did Days, and you learn your lines, you forget them and go the next day to the next script and the next script. But when you're doing a play, oh, my God, it's a lot of pages to remember. That's why when we did Class, I used to go through the whole play before I went on. Hello, is there any other question?
Yes, I do have some questions.
Yeah.
I was curious to know, what dish would you have made for Joe Mescalo? Did you ever cook for him?
Yes.
What did he like?
I think he liked my moussaka that I did. Joe liked that. He also liked some of my pasta dishes. He ate at my home a number of times. One night, his wife came up and she was crying. I said, what's the matter? She says, Joe is having a fit because he can't find a place where to park. And
oh,
I
no.
remember, I said, I'll handle him. So I go down, and there's Joe in the biggest, longest car you've ever seen. I said, no wonder you can't find a parking space. You take up the whole road. He says, well, I can't find it. I'm going home. And I said, oh, stop being a diva. So I got in the car with him. I said, park at the bottom. It'll be good for you to walk. So that's what we did. And he came up, and he had a wonderful time. But, he was pampered, Joe. Wonderful, but pampered. And... and his wife, wonderful. So I miss him terribly, especially on the show. I mean, you don't get that kind of power and persona anymore. People aren't developed like that. Joe was extraordinary.
Yeah, you were both wonderful to watch all those years together.
Thank you.
Yeah, we miss you, Andy, so much.
Thanks, you know... Some people write for you and some can't, but,
Well, we're going to keep asking for you. Maybe one day.
Oh, thank you.
Tony
you.
And Anna will make a return.
Yes, Leanne and I love working together. We have a terrific relationship, and it's gone on for 70 years. I mean, it was interesting that at first she did want to work with me because she thought I was going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I was. But that's because of my own insecurities, and also because, you know, when you're given that many lines, that's a terrible, I mean, you can never, what frustrating is you could never get to the performance because you only had one rehearsal and you got to get that many lines, and by the time you do scene 7, you're thinking, what's next? And they all sounded the same after a while. So, you know, that kind of made me edgy until I started to relax. And Leanne was always very grounding. She used to always touch my arm and says, oh, honey, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm going, oh, God, I can't. Because I don't like doing things. I don't like not doing things well. That really is, you know, I'm very professional that way. I don't like to show anything that's not well done. And that's not possible in life, but still, you try. And, you know, and thank God, you know, some actors you really have great rapport with and some you don't.
Yeah, all your scenes with Leanne and Lauren, amazing. You have great chemistry with both of them.
Yes, Lauren was great too. Different
yeah, your
dynamic.
Were... Sorry.
They were different dynamic to, I think it's just, I don't know, people bring different things out of you. So Leanne kind of, it was a very intimate relationship with Leanne, with Lauren, because it was with Andre. That was always combative, you know, and so another side would come out and zingers, and that's how they used to write us. And I'm sorry that they killed Andre off and didn't pursue that relationship. I thought it had a wonderful dynamic to it.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think Kate brought out the best in Andre, and she taught him how to love.
Who was that?
Kate. I think she brought out the best in Andre, and she taught him, you know, about... like how to love, you know?
Yes, I don't know if she taught me how to love because she was always combative, but we'd looked for things to bring humor. And even when it was written that when she threw champagne in my face after I called her a courtesan, well, that's a nice word for it, she threw the martini in my face and I was supposed to throw my drink in her face. And I thought, you know, men don't throw drinks in women's faces. It's very important how an audience sees you. And so instead, I just picked her up and kissed her on the mouth, and she slapped me, and I laughed. So
yeah,
I thought it was much more interesting.
Yeah, that scene is iconic. Love it.
Yeah, I don't think my producer was happy with it at the time because it went against what he thought the scene should be. But I'll always remember it because I remember a black actor coming up to me who was part of the scene in the square. And he shook my hand because of the way I treated. He says, I love the way you stood up and treated a woman instead of, you know, being rough with her. And instead, you know, I believe in opposites. You know, someone slaps you, you kiss them. It's not what you're expecting.
Well, you're a gentleman.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I saw your interview on Sam in the Morning, and you mentioned you're going to be cooking on Lifestyles.
Yes, this week.
Yes,
Thursday.
I'm going to be there with my family. We're really excited for that.
Oh, really? And where are you coming from?
Toronto.
Oh, that's where you're coming from, right. Oh, wow. Yeah, and how long is the flight?
It's 5 hours, and I'm also going to your book signing.
Oh, yes, yeah. And who's coming? Your husband and your son?
Yeah, my husband, Matthew, and my son, Alessandro.
Oh, that's nice. That's very sweet of you to do that.
Well, you know, I want to come and support
you. How long are you going to be in L.A.?
Oh, not very long. We fly out tomorrow, and then we fly home Friday. Yeah. Well, you're the main attraction.
What's that?
I said, you're the main attraction. You know, coming to see you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope you enjoy yourself. I'm going to do a dinner. I've got Will DeVry and Rebecca Staub and another friend from GH coming, and then they're going to come for dinner on Saturday, and there'll be five of us. Ooh. So I'm trying to think what I'm going to cook for them.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes. Sorry, I just have one more quick question.
Thank you.
Would you ever consider taking acting classes at the Beverly Hills Playhouse?
Would I consider teaching there?
Yeah. I think you would do well. The students would love you. You're experienced and, you know, you're a wonderful mentor.
Well, I started that theater with Milton. I was his assistant for those 12 years, and then I stayed with Milton for almost 40. What I think, I taught a summer at college one time for 3 months, and I found it to be exhausting because the kind of energy you got to put in. But I don't know. I've got a couple of friends teaching there, like Mia. She teaches there. It would have been a natural thing for me to go into it because I'm a good and mentoring young actors, you know. And that's what they need. They need mentoring because there's so little experience and so little technique being taught that actors just think they're enough, and it's not. And not now. I would have if I was younger, but not now. And also the guy who bought it, I mean, he's fine and everything, but he took over Milton's classes with Milton after I left, and but I went to see a play there recently. But you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work teaching, and especially you know, you've got 80 actors in the class. That's a lot of work, and you've got to do your own homework. I would believe that I would see which scenes were going to be done. I would have to read all those three plays in order to understand what I was going to give as a critique. You know, so. But anyway, have a lovely time.
Okay.
When you come, a safe journey, and know that it's appreciated.
Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I don't know if she hung up or not. Okay. I think Stacy's here.
No.
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Stacy?
What do you mean?
Did you
no.
call, please?
You know I wouldn't.
No.
No. Hi. I'm wide you're awake
still there?
And ready to go. I'm here.
Still there?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
time is
can
it?
Hear you.
It is just coming up to 11 a.m. on Tuesday, next day. So, yeah. So we're about, I can't do the math. It's 11 a.m. Tuesday where I am here. So how are you, Theo? How are you going?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
That's good. That's good.
It's been a busy time, but so how is you're in Melbourne, right?
Yes, correct. I am in Melbourne.
How's the weather there these days? You're coming into your winter.
Yeah, it's fresh. It's mild outside. It's sunny, but like it's a bit sort of cold. So I'm not a fan of the cold. You were saying earlier about Australia how you're very you like the heat and the beach, and I'm very opposite. I feel like maybe I was born in England by mistake. I think, you know, because I'm more accustomed to you know, English climate and things like that. But I don't know. Yeah, it's just coming into winter, correct? But when I get to the canyon in August, I'm going to be coming from winter here straight into like stinking hot desert. So that'll be fun as well. So I'm not a fan of the heat, but it's okay. It's what we do for what we like to do in our life, which is come and see you. So it's all good. So I won't take too much time because I know you're probably... Sorry, go on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're coming over in August, right?
Yes, yes. And you know about the... I have to mention Tyrone Tan's interview the other day when you were telling about the fan from Australia that had to sell her kidney. I think he believed you that I had to sell that first kidney, don't you think? He gave me the impression he believed me.
I was talking about somebody else.
No, you were. You cheeky thing.
All these women selling their kidneys. Like, what's next? I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah, we won't talk about what's next.
And then, of course, we have Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, dear. All right, let me take control of this phone call. All right, so Kurt actually asked the main question I was going to ask about the cooking, but I had another couple of things I was going to ask you, Teo. So if you were to make a movie about your life, who would you like to play you in a movie?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I would ever want that. I mean, it's like too many dirty experiences, which shocks me.
Oh, but we'd like to. Well, having said that, we'd definitely like to see that movie being made now.
You know that? I don't know. I can't be that objective about who I would like if that was ever done. I don't see why it would be. So. But knowing you and your questions and how you think, who would you see? Let me put the question to you. Who would you see?
Oh, dear. All right. I want to get back to you about that.
Stop being careful. Be spontaneous.
Billy Flynn. There you go, spontaneous. Billy Flynn. That's who I thought of. Billy Flynn.
Billy Flynn.
De Niro. No. Billy Flynn. Billy Flynn.
No, he's Anglo.
What about...
You wouldn't have Billy Flynn.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe it. It would have to be somebody from who is from Southern Europe. Or an occasional an Arab.
What about Julio Iglesias? Would that be a good choice?
What's that?
Julio Iglesias, the singer, would he be a good choice? He's sort of got that European look about him. I reckon he could probably do a good job, don't you think? Maybe not.
Who'd you say?
A Greek boy from Australia who got educated in America. That's kind of complex. I would find somebody in Australia. But the trouble is, we don't have many ethnic stories coming out of Australia. They still haven't gone there. It's like the question
his nephew
that I had. They said to me when I did the Today Show in Australia, they said, what would you like to see? I said, I would love to go to the movies one day and look up at the screen and see my own identity up there. And that hasn't been done. It's like black actors. I remember a black actress said that. She said, it was so wonderful after all these years to go to a movie and see myself up there. It means a lot, you know.
Right.
I mean, I do see Greek movies, and there's some wonderful actors coming out of Greece, but the accent would be different because they have this, you know, Greek accent.
That's a good. I like that. If I think of someone that comes to mind, I will let you know who I'm thinking of. I wasn't expecting you to counteract my question back to me. So, well played. One other question: do you have any hidden talents that we don't know about? You know, any hidden talents?
Yes, but
you're
I couldn't
tell to unhide.
Them. Send
me a DM. Tell me in private. I can handle it. Send me a DM. Tell me. what else were they going to say? So you said. So I believe you're heading down under at Christmas time this year. Is that correct? You're coming home for Christmas.
How do you know?
Never mind. Never mind how I know. Just answer my question. No, I saw it. Someone commented and someone said online, so I just happened to pick it up.
I'm playing the Republican right now, who always throws a question back at somebody else's question. They never answer.
Come on. Are you coming here or not? Come on, you can tell me. I won't tell anybody. Promise.
No. She'll just put it on Twitter or on X, whatever it's called, and she'll have a picture of me and then saying, guess who's coming home?
No, I won't. So I was going to say, if you are coming home, when was the last time you were in Melbourne? Like, has it been a number of years since you were in Melbourne?
Oh, it's been a long time. I used to go to Melbourne.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm at that stage where when I go home, I want to be with my family.
Yeah. Well, I could always come to you. Anyway, let's move on from that. What else was I going to ask you? Probably not much.
You can always what?
Just to wish you nothing. I thought I could always pop up to Sydney and visit you for a day, but I'm just joking. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
what
please
I
don't
to
threaten
say
me over the phone.
What I was going to just also say is good luck for your two events coming up this week, the book signing and the Roy Ice appearances on Thursday. That'd be good. Do you know the Roy Ice, will that be filmed? Will that be available to watch at some time? Do you know? Or are you not sure?
I'm not sure. I know there's going to be about three photographers there from what I hear now.
Okay.
I'm sure somebody, you know, let's face it, who doesn't film everything these days?
Correct.
I'm sure somebody will take something, but I hope not because, you know, I don't mind photographs, but when people are filming and all that, and, you know, you don't have lighting and people just put it up. It's like people, it's like they shove it up your face. I don't, you know, I see a lot of photographs up there. Like when we went to New Jersey, those photographs were terrible because the lighting was so bad and everything was beige. So as an actor, you know, I worked too many years with Deidre. She's always saying, where's my light? So, no, I don't, you know, people just take photos at random, and just because they have a photo of you, they think they can just put it up, and you're going, excuse me. So, as you know, I've told people in the past, could you please take those pictures down? Because they're just not fair. I mean, it's all very important. Those things are very important to me, you know. It's like, you know, why would you take a photograph of a landscape and have it blurred or in the bad light? You want to, you know, to me, everyone should look at a camera like they're an artist. And not just snap, snap. They should look at a person or an object, an animal, and then find the right angle and make it look beautiful. Don't make things mediocre. You know, life is how you see it. And that's why I say to people, bring out your best when you're shooting something. Don't just, you know. People spend a lifetime, you know, putting their careers together, and then someone comes along and you know, it's a day on days. Sometimes we don't even have light. You're going, where's the light? Because everything is done so quickly now. So I'm not always crazy about. So if you can control it, that's good, you know. That's what's so good about Deidre Hall. She knows her angles. She knows how to work with the camera. So, you know, she's been a great teacher for me.
I guess yeah, I guess that some people like to have some like some candid photos are like good too, I think. Like at you know, obviously at you know, at the Grand Canyon, I'm assuming we'll have some like some candid photos that we're just gonna take between everybody. I think that would be fine, I'm assuming, with you. But we'll discuss that when we are there. But anyway,
well, yes, but you don't just take a picture for taking a picture. You know, stop making things ordinary. You take, you know, when I take pictures, when I go overseas, because those pictures I'm going to show to people, I want them to go, oh, my God, I love that photograph. I don't want people to say, oh, that's just another picture of them or him or her. And when we're going to be on a train, you've got to also know you don't take an angle of a person who's a celebrity any way you want. you have to be smart about it. You have to be courteous about it. You've got to be generous. Rather, because bland, ordinary photographs don't enhance anything. And you're in control of it. So it shows your work and what you present yourself with.
Yeah.
That's why when I put up stuff, I try to think, well, you know, this is the best I can do under the circumstances. But no, and that's why that night in that room, and you know that, Marianne.
Yes.
It was a big room with neon lights above you, and it was just blah.
Yeah.
And so,
the music
you know,
was horrible.
How many people kept...
The music was bad, too. Too loud. It was too loud.
Oh, a lot of things. And also, how many people would come back saying, oh, I didn't like my photograph. I want to take more photographs. Well, after 100 people come photographing you, you know, you begin, your smile begins to crack. There was a
photographer. That's a lot of time.
Hold it, hold it. Let me just get together with this person, be comfortable, rather than you're just snapping. You know, we forget, you know, it's like everything's a supermarket these days. I'm from the place where I want to show quality. I'm not interested in the ordinary. Ordinary is common. It's all out there.
Yeah,
the thing that remain in life is quality.
Aren't
you glad you asked?
I am glad I asked. Yes, just one more quick thing on the Grand Canyon event. So I'm curious as to what I know that last, like, what led you to agree to doing this one, because it was a much smaller scale? Was it because you knew less people would be there? Was that the reason why you elected to come on board to Grand Canyon?
Well, firstly, it's the location.
Yeah, okay.
Even though I've been to the Grand Canyon 5 times, I take friends with me whenever time they come from Australia. I think it's a phenomenal place. It's one of the great icons of America. And everybody should go there. I mean, they should have school taking students there to give them and enhance their imagination and see the beauty that America is and all those colors and the history behind how those formations, that physical formation took place. And about the Colorado and how that drove, you know, and shaped the area. But I like the intimacy that just is 22 people rather than 100 or over 100. You get to know the fans. And let's face it, you know, people are taking their time and money. I mean, thank you.
Oh,
God, you came all the way from Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, don't even ask how much money I've put down on this trip. But you know what? I'm actually excited to come to the Grand Canyon, like, full stop. But to be hanging out with you and the other actors and my other friends, this will be like one of the most amazing trips I've taken, I believe, in my life. You know, I've been to some other traveling while I'm in the country, probably be there for 6 weeks in total, just really max out my time while I can, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and Leanne and the other actors and my buddies. So, yeah, that'd be good.
And so what are you going to travel around America?
Yeah, well, I'm going to my friend Alison, who I'm going to be rooming with. We'll go to her, hang out with her. She lives in Kentucky, so we'll hang out with her. I'm coming to see Andrea, where she lives, for a few days, and my friend Anne, who you know online. To see those guys. So it'll be good to get to see. I'll get to see everybody that I saw last year in New Jersey, one way or another. So it's going to be great. So looking forward to that. Be good. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, make sure you know, look at the landscape. There's also another area to go to is Monument Valley.
Okay, I might look at that one. Is that, that's where Alison lives, I think, near Alison. She was talking about that the other day to me, actually. We probably will go there, for sure.
Monument Valley,
it's a
long drive, but I have to tell you, it's one of the most unbelievable areas, and there's a hotel there that it wasn't there when I was there. It's stunning. It's where all the westerns that John Ford made and those rock formations, and in the afternoon when the shadows take over and it's very red, it is magnificent. I think, you know, so find out, you know, what the beauties are of America and explore them, because there's a lot of beauty here.
Yeah, there is indeed. All right, I think that's about it for me, actually. No more questions.
Thank you.
But thanks for, no problem. Thanks for having a chat. And I'll see you in a few months' time, Teo.
Yeah, you take care, love.
Thank you.
All right, no worries.
Thanks,
Steve. Okay, see you later. Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. She was saying who should play you. How about one of your nephews? Did they ever have the acting bug or anything?
No.
Well, okay.
One did. He was the prettiest one of them all, actually. But
well, then,
I convinced him otherwise. Now he's an engineer and married with two kids. Now he doesn't have the personality that would. You know, he's very low key. And you'd have to really pull it out of him. Anyway, so.
I think that's it with the callers right now. Or wait, there might be one more person here just called in. I don't know. Let's check. Maybe Carrie can check and see who that is. I don't know. Might be Dama.
I want to give a shout out to Jan. To her, hello, Jan. That lovely creature.
Yes. I wish she would call in, but she prefers not to.
Oh, she's there.
Right.
She's listening.
Yeah. Oh, I know she's listening. Yeah. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. She's probably blushing right now.
Oh. Hi, Jan. Yeah. This is Dama. Guess we better get her on. And then that's it. Okay.
Oh.
Dama. Dama?
Hello?
Hello?
Just made it. Go ahead.
Hi.
How is everyone?
I'm
pretty good.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You just made it under the wire.
We've
already been up for over an hour.
Well, yes, dear, but I had to work last night, all night long. And I had a lady that crashed this morning. I had to send her to the ICU. So it was, I had to stay over and finish my paperwork. And slammed it out 3 days in a row, 312s back to back. So now I'm back to Dama.
How are you, Dama?
I'm good. Yeah, thank you. How are you? Busy.
Yeah, busy. I'm going to take it easy this evening, and I'm watching a TV series called Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite something.
Killing Eve.
Yes, it's on Netflix.
I have to write that down.
A Netflix one. Okay, right.
There's a lot of killing and all that in it, but it's very interesting story. But anyway, so what are you up to?
Yeah, well, I said I just finished working for the weekend and just got off work this morning, and I had to, you know, sleep a bit. And so I apologize I'm late, but I overslept. So.
Oh, well, no, that's fine. It's nice that you joined us.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready. I will be flying down on Wednesday morning, so to see you at the Barnes & Noble.
Well, that's very sweet of you to come out.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to do it. It's in the middle of the week, so that works for me and my schedule.
So how long are you staying?
I'm going to have to go back Thursday night late because I have to work Friday. So not very long. It's going to be a quick in and out.
Well, you going to come to Lifestyles?
Yes, I am. I have a ticket. I got a ticket.
That's going to be an interesting conversation. I think they've got 3 segments going.
Yes.
So do you have any questions?
Not really, no. I didn't come prepared with that.
Okay.
Well, I have a question. At the book signing, I'll probably open it to questions after I talk.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have a question ready then.
So what airline are you using to come out?
What was that?
What airline are you coming out on?
I'm coming on Alaska Airlines.
And where, you're landing at LAX or Burbank?
LAX.
Oh. Yes, we have to go with LAX to go to the Grand Canyon in August.
Yeah.
And so I hate that airport. It's just, it's too busy. I cannot believe it's one of the worst planned airports. And with all the new buildings and everything they have, and it's still, you know, back bumper to bumper and... Mm-hmm. And then to even get a cab, I mean, you have to get on a bus to get to a cab.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. But anyways, well.
Yeah, it's badly planned.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about it. I'll do better next time.
What do you mean?
Oh, as far as choosing that airport to go out of, I guess, or in and out of.
Well,
yeah,
don't you go to? Well, can from where you are, can you go to Burbank?
Yes, I could, but the prices have really gone up now because it's so close. So I don't know, but I suppose I could change it to Burbank. Yes.
Yeah, it's just so much easier with Burbank. To go anywhere, but well, have a safe trip when you come out, and be nice
okay.
to see you. And Kate's going to be there.
Yes, Katie. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know GH, so there'll be Will DeBry, and there will be Ken Schreiner's coming too.
Oh, wow. That'll be lovely.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
Good.
And Susan Hayes and Leanne and Lauren are coming out so,
event.
So
great.
I didn't put out invitations to the actors. I just, you know, I thought we did enough publicity on it for people to know it was going to happen. So.
Right.
That's where we are. So, anyway. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, thanks.
I'm going to go up and have dinner.
Okay, thanks, Dama.
Yeah, thanks,
all right,
guys.
Dama. You'll
okay.
be well. Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
You too. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, thank you, Tao. We'll go have your dinner. It was nice.
Are we being recorded now, or is it over?
Oh, no, you're still on air.
Ah. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank everyone who came on board and
yeah.
asked
uh-huh.
nice questions. Thank you for setting it up. And I will
thank
speak
you
to you soon.
Taking the time. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Much love. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.